Laurent de Wilde et pas de Wilde.
Ou de Wilde.
Ou de Wilde.
Ou de Wilde.
Ça me faisait assez marrer que ça s'appelle Do et que je m'appelle Rémi, hein. C'est tout con.
J'y avais pas fait la connexion, mais ouais.
Voilà.
Je pense que le son dit quelque chose de l'être humain.
Yes, please. Thank you very much.
Jazz interview. Pour une rencontre avec un artiste de jazz. Passez un très bon moment sur Art District.
Avec Serge Mariani.
Bonjour à tous, il est 14h sur Art District Radio et l'on retrouve Serge Mariani pour son émission Jazz Interview. Bonjour Serge.
Bonjour Julie. Et oui, c'est avec Catherine Russell que nous avons rendez-vous aujourd'hui pour cette Jazz Interview. Catherine Russell est une héritière à plus d'un titre. Son héritage est multiple et pour simplifier, disons d'abord qu'il est double. C'est un héritage familial, bien entendu, puisqu'elle est née au sein d'une famille musicienne et pas n'importe laquelle. Son père, Louis, portait le prénom de celui dont il était le directeur artistique, Louis Armstrong, et sa mère, Caroline Ray, diplômée de la Juilliard et de la Manhattan School of Music, était dans les années 1940 bassiste, guitariste et chanteuse, notamment avec la première formation américaine de swing et de jazz entièrement féminine, les International Sweethearts of Rhythm. La petite Catherine aurait pu devenir professeure, médecin, astronaute, fleuriste. Elle a naturellement hérité de pouvoir de chanter et de pouvoir... Pardon. Elle a naturellement hérité du pouvoir de chanter et de jouer de nombreux instruments. Et c'est tant mieux pour nous, public. Après avoir par exemple mis ses talents au service d'un David Bowie dans le groupe qui l'accompagnait au début des années 2000, Catherine Russell a décidé de se consacrer à la production de ses propres albums. De Cat, le premier de ses désormais 7 albums, jusqu'à Alone Together, elle a voué sa vie de musicienne non pas seulement à l'interprétation, mais on peut le dire à une réinvention de standards et même d'airs très peu connus et oubliés du grand répertoire jazz et populaire américain. C'est précisément ce dont il s'agit avec les titres de ce 7e album qui donne aux paroles de Louis Armstrong une nouvelle et éternelle jeunesse. There ain't but two things in music, good and bad. Now, if it sounds good to you, don't worry what it is. You just go out and enjoy it. So let's share some time alone together with Catherine Russell now. Hello, Catherine.
Hello, Serge. Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Are you okay? Fine here in Paris?
Yes, I love Paris.
Yes, that's a good point for beginning.
Yes.
So, Catherine, as I just said, about I would like to begin this first part of the jazz interview about the, I should say, the music brew, if I can say so, you have been born into and still are. Let's say swimming in and crossing some kind of deep ocean till this new album of yours. It is the 7th one. I said, I told about your experience with, for example, David Bowie. And after that, you decided to record a first album.
Yes.
Yes. Why did you wait so long, we could say?
Well, I wasn't waiting. I was working.
Oh, yeah, of course.
As a singer. So,
A lot.
A lot. So I was encouraged after I got home from David Bowie's tour to make an album. But with that comes being a band leader, which I didn't really want to do. I was very happy as a backup singer. Mm. But, you know, the person that encouraged me later became my husband, and he said, I will help you. So he said, find me 14 songs that you like. I have a friend outside of Chicago with a studio. We'll go there, and we'll record them. So that turned out to be the first album, Cat. And then from there, we started doing shows, and then I found the musicians that were that loved swing and old-time music like I do.
Yes.
And so then that's how it really started. So then we just, you know, continued, and now we're here. So, you know, I feel good about it.
Yes. And you are, we should say, devoted to the Great American Songbook. That's it?
Well, Great American Songbook is part of it.
Yeah.
And the other part is the Great African American Songbook.
Yes, of course.
Which includes the blues singers, you know, from the 20s, Bessie Smith and so forth. Mm. And it also includes Fats Waller, you know, who was not necessarily included in the Great American Songbook, you know what I mean? And other African-American composers, you know, that aren't really included in that. So we like to have a broader approach to what we do.
Yeah. Of course. And let's go a bit to back to your youth. You were born, as I just said a bit, in a musical family.
Yes.
And of course, your mother was a singer, bassist, bass player and guitarist.
Pianist, yes.
Great musician. And your father, he was a pianist mostly, I guess.
Yes.
And he was the art director of Louis Armstrong Orchestra.
Yes, the musical director for
Yes, musical
for
director, sorry.
Yeah,
yes.
For several years, yes.
So you were really involved in music as your very first time on earth, I should say.
Yes.
How was it, the family life, you remember?
You know, we had a lot of instruments in the house, always. We had always had a grand piano. We had my mother's guitar that she played in the International Sweethearts of Rhythm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my grandfather was also, her father was also a musician.
Yes.
So we had his instruments, violin and a mandolin and, you know, different instruments. And so we just listened to music all the time, all different types of music. So I was exposed to everything from an early age, including classical music, opera.
Hmm.
My mother knew a lot about opera, so I was exposed to that. And all periods of classical music, from early music to 20th century music. And she was a choral singer also, professional classical choral singer, so I was exposed to that. And also exposed to jazz, exposed to blues, the Great American Songbook, all of the singers, Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, Tony Bennett, everybody like that. And then my mother used to take me to recording sessions with her. So I got to experience that, being in the recording studio as a child and watching how records were made.
As trainee.
Yeah, so.
Did you ever think you could have become something else than a musician?
I never thought I would be a professional musician, so. You know, I didn't know what I was going to be, but I thought, you know, maybe there's something else I can do. But as it turns out, this is what I do. So, you know, I don't know how to do anything else. So
your father, Luis, he was born in Panama. That's
yes.
Right. Yeah, so it's quite important because you sometimes remind you this part of your roots.
Yes.
In the songs, I remember I heard that.
Yeah. We do a Calypso song in the show.
Yeah.
And because I grew up on Calypso music. And also, you know, I like different types of rhythms. I like to dance, you know, so that's how I grew up on my father's side of the family. I had a very Caribbean style upbringing, you know, so there was a lot of dancing, a lot of eating, a lot of music, you know, and my mother and my godfather and different relatives were in a band together. So they used to play for dancing, you know, also a lot of calypsos.
Your mother, she was born in Manhattan,
yes.
New York, but the roots, family roots, where were from?
From the southern United States.
Okay.
Yeah, all American on her side.
And you are said to be a native New Yorker.
Yes.
I think it's important, no?
Well, there are not many of us. So I was born and raised in New York City. There are not many people that are born and grow up in New York City.
And do you remember, of course, I guess you are. Are you remembering the first time you ever performed in a club in New York?
The first time.
One of the first.
There were a lot of, you know, clubs in those days. So the first time probably was maybe in the early 1980s.
Okay.
When I was figuring out how to put a band together and perform, you know, as a leader and different things. So, so there was a club called Mikkel's in Manhattan where a lot of performers used to, it was a big hangout, you know, in those days. So one of my early bands, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, but I said, you know, let me just try something, you know, so... you know, and then after that, I performed, you know, I did different, I was in different bands in New York, so I performed in different clubs, and then really in the mid to late 80s, 1980s, I got a job in a comedy club performing in between comedians.
Okay.
So that was really the start of a real career.
Okay.
You know, that was a steady job for 4 years I was there. And a lot of important American comedians used to work there. So now that a lot of those people are famous, you know. So it was a good place to perform. So there were maybe three or four singers that used to perform in between the comedians.
Oh, okay. Okay.
At that point.
Okay. We said, of course, your father, Louis Russell, was very close to Louis Armstrong as
yes.
a musical director.
Yes.
We are going to make a first pause, musical one, at the end of this first part of the interview. And you have chosen, of course, something of Louis Armstrong. Can
yes.
you tell us the title?
Yes, this is a song by Hoagy Carmichael that Hoagy Carmichael wrote specifically for Louis Armstrong called Eventide. Yeah. And it's from a 1936 recording that my father was
played,
on.
Yes,
yeah,
he played
on
yes.
it. So this was while he was musical director for Louis Armstrong. And actually, it was my father's orchestra that Louis Armstrong took over. So many of the players on this recording are players that my father met in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
you know, that he had long musical relationships
of course, yes.
with. So when you hear this recording, this is my father's orchestra. That's the prime period of his work with Louis Armstrong.
Okay, great. So let's listen to Louis Armstrong, Eventide, 1936.
Eventide brings me rest, time of day that I like best. Where you've been, just roll on in, the robin in his nest. Eventide that speaks of love, that's what I've been thinking of. Watching that beautiful sunset in the west, oh, the dream I'm dreaming. Evening, someone waits for me. Evening, meet the wildwood tree. Oh, evening, and I'll soon be there, loving my sweet chickadee with all my heart. Evening tide brings down the night, but hang the moon up high and bright, 'cause evening tide, I've fallen in love. Bumble to those bedded by the rib.
Voilà, nous venons d'écouter de Louis Armstrong le titre Eventide, 1936. Eventide qu'on pourrait traduire par soleil couchant. c'est le moment du soir, c'est un terme qui vient du sud des États-Unis. Donc Louis Armstrong avec l'orchestre du père de Catherine Russell, qui est notre invitée aujourd'hui dans cette jazz interview. Catherine, you're still okay?
Yes.
We can continue set two of this jazz interview.
Yes, of course.
Well, I was very happy to attend your concert, a concert here in Paris yesterday evening. And I should say, you only performed singing. You didn't
yes.
play anything, because you can play a lot of instruments, of course.
Well, I play in, you know, rock and roll bands. So
oh,
I
yeah.
played with Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
I played with David Bowie, but I don't play jazz. So my jazz musicians are a lot better at playing than I am. And in this setting, I just like to sing.
Okay, so that was it, and that was great. So
thank you.
So yes, I would like to speak about your, I should say, your path through different musical experiences. You just said rock music and so on, pop music maybe, like being David Bowie side and music, jazz and popular in the USA these years. What is your thought about the music, jazz and popular music nowadays in America?
What is my thought? Well, you know, popular music is always more mainstream, mm-hmm. you know. It has all the money behind it, the big record labels and so forth. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people like jazz. A lot of people mm-hmm. will come out to hear jazz. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I ask you this because here in France, we say jazz is everywhere.
Yeah, it is.
Now jazz music, you can say, well, that's jazz. We don't even know if it's really jazz, but everything can be jazz. Is
yeah.
this the same feeling in the USA? I don't think so.
No,
I'm not sure.
No, I don't think so, you know, because also the audiences here for jazz are all ages, whereas mostly for the type of music of jazz that we do, in America, the audiences are older people, generally, not so much younger people.
Okay.
And because they might associate that with older people, you know, so they think, oh, I'm not going to like that, you know, so they don't even really come out, you know, they think, oh, I'm just going to be bored with it, you know. But in Europe, that's never been the case, you know, so that's why we like coming here. But I will say coming to Europe to perform is what I mean. But we are working on that, you know, in the United States. We're working on our education, you know, of jazz for young people. And when children hear it, they have a good time. So that gives us hope for the music there.
For example, what do you think something special about the Berklee College of Music? Because this is really famous here. A lot of musicians in Europe, they go to USA for the Berklee experience and so on.
Yes, Berklee is a very good school. I taught there many years ago. The thing is, though, Berklee is dedicated to modern jazz music, not traditional jazz,
yes.
not classic jazz. So, you know, it's good. Berklee is a great school. A lot of great musicians come out of there. I've really enjoyed teaching there, and most recently I did a concert up there with students, which was great. We had a really good time. You know, they're
and
good.
And you performed the what you think in your own concert, that meaning
yes.
Songs from sometimes the 1920s and 30s and not
yes.
Very recent music.
Yes, and they really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And actually great. After that they formed their own band, and what they play is classic jazz.
Okay.
So that made me happy, you know what I'm saying? Because they're young people and they really liked it.
Yes,
so.
Because in America, what we sometimes don't think about that, in America, jazz music is quite the classical music of the United States. So when you pay tribute to the oldies, I should say, it's like for European musicians playing Mozart and Bach and so on. But this is Armstrong and Duke Ellington and I don't know, and all the great singers you pay tribute to. Yes.
Yeah, so I just feel that it's very important. I like the music anyway, but I feel that it's important that we keep it alive, that people know the names of these people, Bessie Smith, and because you're not really going to hear that on the radio, you know, except for certain DJs who specifically know about that and play that music. Otherwise, you know, you don't hear it. So I think it's important.
Yes, of course. And it's important now to listen to Dinah Washington, maybe.
Yes.
You chose a song of Dinah Washington.
Yes.
You're nobody till somebody loves you.
Yes. And this is a really great recording. I love, this is from 1962.
Mm-hmm.
And Dinah Washington is one of my favorites because she is a master of mixing jazz and blues with a little bit of gospel in it because she comes out of the church.
Excuse me, I would like you to tell me precisely why you make a difference between jazz and blues. How you make it? What is the difference?
Well, you know, there used to not be a difference. But I would say that for me, the mixture of I'll say them what's similar first. The mixture for me is that they both can swing, and there's a freedom when you sing. When you sing jazz and you mix some blues in there, because blues is very personal.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can kind of do whatever you want with the phrase, you know, and bend the notes a little bit, you know, more loosely, you know, in the blues context.
Mm.
So I would say that maybe jazz, as we think of it, maybe it's a little more stylized. You know, and blues is a little looser in its interpretation.
Okay.
So I like to mix the two of those, you know. So then you can do whatever you feel in the moment.
Okay, that's important. So did Dinah Washington.
Yes.
And we're agreeing to listen. So you're nobody till somebody loves you.
Sure as the stars shine above.
Voilà, nous venons d'écouter The Dinah Washington, choisi par notre invitée Catherine Russell aujourd'hui. Le titre You Are Nobody Till Somebody Loves You, un titre de 1962. While we were listening to that tune, Catherine, we were talking about your mother,
yes,
who died in her 80 years old.
She was 88.
More than 88. 88, yes.
Yes.
And a few years before, you helped her to record one last album, I should say.
Yes, yes.
that must have been a great experience, of course.
It was.
I produced it
because her voice was amazing.
Yeah.
And she, you know, I asked her if she wanted to just record an album of her singing.
Mm-hmm.
And she said yes, and she chose the musicians. And we went into the studio, and she was great. She just, one take, you know, just one time through everything, sang everything through, everything was perfect, and she was just so happy, you know, to be in the studio and sing those songs. So it was really a joy
to do. Yes, so yes. And the musicians, what about the musicians? Some of them were some of yours or different, really quite different?
The drummer is the drummer that works with me, Mark McLean.
Yeah.
And then the bass player and piano player are Yuka Aikawa is the piano player, and her husband, Atsundo Aikawa, is the bass player. And they are a husband and wife jazz duo that my mother worked a lot with. So she picked them, and I chose the drummer.
Yeah. Okay, so now for this last part of the jazz interview, Catherine Russell, we are going to talk more about your seventh album, Alone Together. Why this title?
Well, the titles of albums are the hardest thing
to
come up with. So in this case, we just picked the song, you know, as the
that
title.
That can help sometimes.
Yeah.
It's an opening the title, no? It's the opening of the album?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And it you know, I love the song, Alone Together, because for me it's a song of hope.
Mm.
It's a song that says that we're not alone, you know, we can be strong together, we can be happy together, and we can just fight against all the negative things, you know, in the world.
Mm.
And I first actually, this is an American Songbook tune that I first heard Judy Garland sing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a big fan of Judy Garland. I thought she was a great artist. And so that just inspired me to sing the song, you know. So I love the lyric. I love the harmonic structure, the melody. I love everything about it. So that's why I picked it.
And it's about love, of course.
Yes, of course.
Like many songs you chose, picked up in for this album.
Yes.
Yes, like let's go back again to Louis Armstrong. There is one he performed. The title is Why Did You Leave Heaven or something like that?
No. Yes, When Did You Leave
when
Heaven?
When Did You Leave Heaven?
Yes, yes.
I love this song. It's very moving. It's great.
You
performed it so beautifully, yes.
Thank you very much. It comes from a film, from an old film, as I was explaining last night.
Yeah.
But one of my inspirations was the great vocalist Little Jimmy Scott, great jazz vocalist. And I heard him sing this song. And it just, you know, just moved me so much.
Yeah.
And then also Nancy Wilson's interpretation. And then Louis Armstrong made an album of all songs about heaven and angels, and he included this song in that, on that album. So many different sources of inspiration.
That's very interesting. You thought about a man singing, because I would like to know what you think of that. I read about you, her voice, so yours, her voice is full-blown, feminine, incarnate, soulful, dusky, interpretive power, yet remains touchingly vulnerable. Do you think it's where the difference is between man and woman singing? Do you think, for example, of course, Louis Armstrong, he performed this song,
yes,
about heaven.
Yes.
You did too, very differently, of course. Do you think it's important to choose between men and women about singing kind of songs?
No, I think that, you know, mostly it doesn't really matter if the person's heart is open, you know. I mean, Frank Sinatra is a great example of strength and vulnerability at the same time. Yeah. Tony Bennett is a great example, and Louis Armstrong is also a great example of singing with an open heart.
Uh-huh.
So there is nothing more sensuous and beautiful to me than a man singing with an open heart. I think it's I think it's beautiful. So, you know, when you get the human being, when you get the feeling, you know. So no, I don't think. You know, I don't like to make a difference between.
Yes, mostly singers are women, mostly more numerous than men.
Still. Yeah, maybe in jazz.
Yeah,
maybe
of course, I'm talking jazz.
In jazz,
yes.
Yeah, I don't know why that is, but you
no
know,
no idea at all.
No, I don't know why that would be, but you know, I love listening to Johnny Hartman. You know, I loved. I mean, even Dizzy Gillespie sang, and I liked his voice too. You know, I mean, it was not a polished voice, but his heart was open. You know, he interpreted the word Nat King Cole.
Yeah.
You know, so no, I don't know. I don't really know why that is, but I really enjoy listening to male vocalists.
Yes, maybe it's same in the United States, but you know, there is in Europe, in France, in particular, a big debate about the role the place, the room made to women in jazz.
Yeah.
And of course we say, well, women, they always are singers mostly, but we don't see them playing the piano. So piano, okay, but trombone, saxophone, trumpet, guitar and so on, the bass. What do you think of that?
We do more nowadays.
You're in a band. Your band is four men.
Yes, that's true.
You are the singer, the woman.
Yes, and I also work with female instrumentalists. So there's an excellent bass player named Nikki Perrott, who I've worked with many, many times. She's a great acoustic bass player. And she worked with Les Paul, you know, the great guitarist.
Yes.
And so, you know, and there's also Allison Miller is a great drummer. Who's worked with me and plays all styles of music, jazz, pop, rock, any style. So men don't think of seeing women really playing instruments a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I've done whole shows with female orchestras, you know, a lot. So
yes, like your mother did it for
like
a
my
long
mother
time
did.
Ago.
Yeah,
with the Sweethearts.
With the Sweethearts, yeah. I've worked with the Diva Jazz Orchestra.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Bria Skonberg, who is a great Canadian trumpeter. We just did an all female show, a swing dance, in New York City. You know, so then at Jazz at Lincoln Center, you know, where Wynton Marsalis is the head of that organization. We did a tribute to Mary Lou Williams, to the great pianist composer Mary Lou Williams, with an all-female orchestra. So that was a program for children to teach them who Mary Lou Williams was.
Okay. So now you are touring with a... this band, four men, and you singing. Are you touring a lot these days?
Yes.
Yes, after Paris, going to...
We go to Italy,
okay.
We go to Sardinia, then we go to Spain.
Okay, okay.
And then we just finished in New York doing a four-night run at Jazz at Lincoln Center at Dizzy's Club. We play all over the United States.
Okay.
We went to Mexico. a few months, maybe, last month, actually. You know,
Panama? No.
Yes, we went to Panama, but we haven't been there since 2007. Okay. So it's time to go back.
Yes, okay. So the album, your seventh album, is titled Alone Together, with a beautiful band. It is not produced, but the label is Dot.
Dot,
it is your first,
Dot Time. Yes,
yes, Dot Time, first album with
on
them.
This label, yes.
Yes, okay. Yes. And we can, of course, find it on
every
musical platform
medium,
and
yes.
medium and so on.
Yes, yes, I'm happy to say.
And as I say often, the best is to go to attend a show, a concert by you and your musicians, of course, as often as possible.
Thank you
so
very much.
So for an end, Catherine Russell, we are going to listen to one of the tunes of the album, and you chose Early in the Morning.
Yes.
Why?
Because
you are a morning person.
sometimes, not a lot. It depends on where I am and jet lag and so forth.
Yeah.
But I really like it. It's uplifting. It's bluesy, and I love the work of the great Louis Jordan. And so that's why I chose this song. So we can end on a very lively note.
Ok, voilà, donc pour se dire au revoir avec Catherine Russell, nous allons écouter Early in the Morning de son album Alone Together qui est paru il y a quelques temps chez Dot Time Records. Merci Catherine Russell d'avoir été notre invitée et à bientôt d'une façon ou d'une autre et avec la musique en particulier. Bye bye Catherine, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, I appreciate it.
pourquoi Laurent de Wilde et pas de Wilde?
Ou de Wilde.
Ou de Wilde.
Ou de Wilde.
Ça me faisait assez marrer que ça s'appelle Do et que je m'appelle Rémi, hein, c'est tout con.
J'avais pas fait la connexion, mais ouais.
Voilà.
Je pense que le son dit quelque chose de l'être humain.
Yes, please. Thank you very much.
Jazz interview pour une rencontre avec un artiste de jazz. Passez un très bon moment sur Art District.
Thank you.